I need these people to hear me today. Everybody else excited? Maybe you didn't hear me on my mic through the speaker. Or maybe y'all are glad that you were last week. What we're going to do is not allow the rain to dictate our minds in this moment. All right? So I don't care how cozy it is outside, how cozy and warm it is next to your neighbor. Let's open up our Bible, if you have a Bible, to the book of James. We're going to go right into it. The book of James, and we're going to go right to chapter 4. And if you have any other little ones, I almost forgot to take them down if you want. So here we are in James chapter 4. If you've been with us over the last 8 weeks, we have been digging through the book of James, which is written by the half-brother of Jesus, as he wrote it to Christians 2,000 years ago to encourage them that through the trials of family splitting up, through the persecution of religious and political leaders, through people being killed for the faith in Jesus Christ, to continue to count it all joy, continue to walk through this life, not blaming God for what happens, but continue living in an active, obedient life. And this is the one sentence overview that I have read over the last 8 weeks. You've probably gotten tired of hearing it, but we're almost done. We have one more month, and then we'll be finished with this, and then welcome Christmas. This is the one sentence overview. As we read through this book, it says this: in the book of James, we find life applications that can change the trajectory of our lives. Some of those life applications is to count it all joy. Some of those life applications is to tame the tongue and keep our mouths shut. Some of those life applications are to live in true wisdom, seeking Him first rather than false wisdom, believing that this life is all about me, all about my desires, and God only concerned about my happiness rather than His holiness, which I should be pursuing. So these are all life applications, and the goal is that you wouldn't just read these words on the screen, you wouldn't just read these words in the book that you have in your hand, but you would literally lean into the presence and the Spirit of God to allow Him to convict you, to confront you with some things in your life where you can see change in your heart, change in your life, where you will now live seeking His holiness rather than happiness. You'll seek godliness rather than worldliness, and you will seek His will rather than your own ways. And today we're going to go right to chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the title. If you have a bulletin, this is my title for the text, and we'll get into it here in just a minute. And it's a question. What is it anyway? What is it anyway? And I'm going to read the text in its entirety, and then I want to break it down into 2 points and break those down when we get to that question here. So James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, it says this: come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. All right, at this point, I want you to stop looking at your iPhone, stop looking at your Bible, or stop looking at the screen. I want you to look to your neighbor. Look to your neighbor, preferably your spouse if they're here. And I want you to ask them this next question that you read in the text: what is your life? Ask them right now, what is your life? Hang on. Let's take it to 2018's version. Everybody, let's turn back to him and let's ask him this instead. Who do you think you are?
That's a little better. I can ask that.
My spouse isn't here, so I don't have to ask. But who do you think you are? And this is what he does. He answers it for us, and he says, you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And that could be translated more accurately into a vapor. Cigarette vapor this year, and then it vanishes. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And he ends this particular section with this: so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And this is a beautiful text, and one I could preach on for a very long time, but I'm not, and I promise you. But I want to break it down into two main points. And the first point is that I want to break it down and discuss opportunity versus obedience. we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And then he goes, what is your life? You're a vapor, you're a mist. James is not saying you shouldn't have any plans and just wake up every day and say, I don't know what today's going to bring, but we're going to fly by the seat of our pants and we're just going to enjoy it and embrace it. That is not what James is saying. If you are living that way, you can meet with me and we will try to line you up and get things back in order. But James is not saying you can't plan. You can't be prepared for what's coming. I don't know if anybody else made plans for today, but my plans after church are to go home, eat some deer meat that I kill, and I'm going to cook it, I'm going to eat it, but I don't say if the Lord wills, that's what I'm going to do. But here's what James isn't saying. He's not saying you can't be prepared, but here's what he is saying. He's saying that you should live a life marked more by obedience rather than chasing opportunity. Like, that's the way that we should live. Not that opportunities are bad. Not that building a retirement is bad. Not that having a plan that if I work this many years, putting up this much into retirement or a 401k, this is the age I want to retire. None of that's bad. But he's saying that if you live a life just chasing the opportunity rather than living in obedience, then you have simply gotten it wrong. And if you take it back a couple of weeks, you would find that that is just simply living in selfish ambition and false wisdom. So what I would challenge you today is to see where you are and ask yourself, am I living just chasing the opportunities, or am I seeking the will of God and the way of God? Because what happens is all of us have opportunities that come, and some of those opportunities are blessings from the Lord. All right? I'm not saying you can't chase an opportunity, but what I want you to know is that the will of God is right here, and it's a straight line. And some of us live right here. We're chasing opportunities. We're living in addiction. We're living in sin. We're struggling with this, or we're having a hard time with that. And here we are. The goal is to, over the course of your life, and as you grow in maturity in your faith, is to line up your life with the will of the Lord. That's the goal. That's the goal, is to live your life and have your will actually match the will of our God. However, it may take a lot of time. It may take months for some people. It may take years for some people. And whenever it comes to making decisions and jumping on opportunities, let me just remind you that instead of doing them for what you may possess or obtain because of them, they should simply be made because of the obedience to God's word, obedience to His way. And we should make all decisions based on how we can continue to glorify Him and exalt Him. And all decisions that we make must be Christ-centered. And I'm not telling you that you're going to live here forever and ever. We don't know what's going to come. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know that we all should live a life marked by obedience. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, maybe like 2 months ago or a month ago, that the true hallmark of a true follower of Jesus Christ is obedience. Obeying His word, obeying His will, obeying the ways of the Lord. And that's where we want to be. And you know, like a life example I have is 2 years ago was the first time I preached here. It's been a little over 2 years now, and I was just kind of looking back this week and all the things that have happened and conversations I've had and the blessings that have come. But 4 years ago, I left North Carolina, and my wife and I moved back home with a three-month-old, submitting to the will of God to preach the gospel, and I had no idea what it was going to look like. I had no idea. But I wanted to obey the will of the Lord. I had no idea where He was going to call. I had no idea what tomorrow really held. But I knew that this is what He had called me to do. Therefore, I'm lining myself up at the ripe age of 23 with the will of the Lord. And there we are with a three-month-old at some points unable to really live life like we had lived before. The luxurious life that we had lived on the beach was now, ice storms and tornadoes. And it was beautiful. I'm lying, it was not. I would have coasted on the sunset of the beaches forever and ever. Amen. And there we were, and we moved to Moberly, Missouri. And if you've never heard of Moberly, it's nothing but trains and prison. That's Moberly for you. There you go. Don't have to waste your time to go now. I've given it to you. And then we moved to Columbia. And my wife and I were traveling home every single weekend. I said, you know what, I'm tired of driving every weekend. I'm tired of going to school from 8 to 2 every day and working from 3 to 3 in the morning almost 12 hours a day. I'm tired of working 50 to 60 hours and driving every weekend home and trying to do homework and blah, 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 blah. And I said, let's just move home. So we did. And I had an opportunity to take a day job, make a little bit more money, and actually see my wife and my kids well, my kid at the time. So we moved home, and I'll go ahead and be honest with you, I didn't pray very much about it. I just jumped on the opportunity. It was in my heart to take my wife and my kids, my daughter home, because that's where our family was, and I wanted my daughter to be raised around her family and know her grandmas and grandpas, and that's what I wanted. And there we were. We moved home to Potosi, and I started to fill in for my wife's great-grandfather, who was 90 years old and still preaching, and still doing it today at 91, almost 92. And I can't be more thankful for that opportunity that I had to preach to 10 or 12 people who were all saved and over the age of 55. And it was a little bit different, but it was a beautiful opportunity to get experience in preaching the gospel and understanding how to dig into a particular text and make it something presentable to where people can apply something and learn from the word. And here we were, a little over two years later, I had an opportunity to come out here, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if I haven't told you this before, I wanted nothing to do with Pleasant Hill. I love you all now, though. I love you all now. But I wanted nothing to do with it, because through preaching to 10 or 12 people and going to the family farm just down the road and having a big family dinner and allowing the girls to go check the cattle every Sunday was beautiful. And it was comfortable. And then I remember that I was to live a life marked by obedience rather than a comfortable opportunity, which I had. So my wife and I began praying for the opportunity at hand. And let me just tell you that the more you live in line with God's word and God's way, He will provide you opportunity. He will provide you opportunities to fulfill the purpose in which He has given you and called you to. So there we are 2 years later, or 2 years ago, praying that we would simply know one of two things. We would know that the doors are shut and this is not God's will. Or I simply ask God that if this was your will, that you would bless this place and bless these people. I think we could all attest that He has done that.
Amen.
Amen on that. He has blessed this place tremendously. Now, looking back, I'll be honest, I could have been selfish and said, you know what, this would be a great opportunity. They'd probably pay me better. I have a house right next to the church. Like, this would be a great opportunity. And if I was selfish, I would have jumped on it right away and said, yep, let's do this thing. I'm ready to go. I don't need to try it out. Let's just do it. I'm ready. But what happened was, over a few months period, I remember coming in and filling in and talking with people and discussing things with people, meeting with the board, and praying with my wife daily. God, if this is your will, just simply bless us as a couple, bless my family, bless this house, bless this community. Now, looking back 2 years ago, I simply know that and confidently can say that we were living in and still are living in the will of God. Not because people are coming to hear me, but because marriages have been repaired, because hearts have been restored, because souls have been saved. And what happens is, what's happened over the last 2 years is not just my wife and I, but other people have simply lined this up, their life that they were living in sin and shame or addiction or problems, they have lined it up with the will of the Lord. And what happens when you line yourself up with the will of the Lord, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, you will see that you will live in the purpose that God has given you. And you want me to remind you what that purpose is? To make disciples of all nations and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look around this place, some of these people in this place, to be honest, I would have never thought would have been coming to Pleasant Hill Christian Church. They drive from different parts of our area. There's 35 churches on the way out. But here they are, on a weekly basis, giving themselves, submitting to the Lord, and fulfilling their purpose. And here they are, lining themselves up. You know, new people lining themselves up with the will of the Lord. They're bringing newer people. We got people bringing neighbors and family members and cousins and strangers. And what's happening now is that we are all simply forgetting of what we could do and simply giving ourselves to what God will do. We're lining ourselves up, and we have seen a beautiful blessing in this place. And I want to continue as long as I'm here, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I will continuously submit and serve as God has called me forever and ever. Which leads me to the next part of this message and something I really want to present to you. It's that simple question in verse 14 that we kind of translated to today's Missouri translation. Who do you think you are? What is your life? What is your life? He says, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. He said, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills. That's why I'm saying, you know, that God has a will, and here we are living out here doing whatever we want, living however we want. and not lining ourselves up with the will of God. When we do, we'll find that we have more joy, we'll have more peace, we'll have more love. And here we are with that question. I want to expand on that question a little bit. What is your life? I mean, just think about it. Just think of your life for just a minute. Just think of it. All the things that you've done, all the goals that you have. What is your life? And James would answer, and I'll answer it for you. You were just a mist or a vapor. I'm sorry to break it to you, but I think James is wanting people to remember, and he's trying to remind them, don't puff your chest up a little too high. Don't exalt yourself a little too high. Here's the step, and this is what I heard. That in a family tree, people will forget you in 5 or 6 generations. Did you know that? I mean, they might hear stories of you, but unless you're Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or unless you're Rosa Parks, or unless you're Donald Trump, people are going to forget who you are. I just said Donald Trump, didn't I? They'll never forget him. But that's just the stat, and it's a reality that within 5 generations, you may know a great-great-grandfather, a great-great-grandmother. In about 6 generations, it's very, very rare that there are ever 6 generations still living all together. And the reality is, they may see pictures of you or hear stories of you, but you will simply be gone. And it kind of breaks my heart to know that my kids, grandkids, will forget who I am. And here's another step for you. Within about 50 to 100 years, people at Pleasant Hill may not even know my name. I mean, that this is reality. Like, I may come and pass away in the next 50 to 80 years, and within 100 years, people won't even know who I am. They may see me in a picture, and they may say, who is this punk kid wearing Chelsea boots on a platform? But they're not going to know me at all. I mean, my influence, my impact here will eventually be gone, and I pray that, you know, as time goes on, I pray that by the age of 80 or 90, I'm no longer preaching. I pray that God has raised someone else or 2 people up to come into this place and preach and continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this house, behind this pulpit, and in this community. Because our lives are a vapor, a mist, and if we were to puff our chest up a little too much or think we were a little too high, in our own mind, then we would be just living selfishly and in false wisdom. But James is saying, no. Just remember, your life is simply a vapor. It's a mist. You're here and then gone. So don't focus too much on what I think what happens is so many people worry of the problems that they may face today or tomorrow, that they miss out on living in the provision and in the presence of God. I really believe that some of us worry ourselves sick because we're afraid what the doctor report's going to bring tomorrow. We worry ourselves sick because we don't know if next week or next month we're going to have the funds to pay the bills and buy the groceries. And I'm not telling you not to be prepared. I'm not telling you not to better yourself and have ambition and drive and better your family and live and try to pursue and provide for them in more ways. But I'm telling you, like, you're a vapor and a mist, and I'm a vapor and a mist. I'm going to be here, and then I'm going to be gone. And I think so many times we worry about what is to come that we miss out on what God has already given and what God has already blessed us with. It reminds me of the Psalm 118:24. If you have your Bible, turn to there, turn to there. I'll give you a few minutes. It's in the Old Testament. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24. And it simply says this, and as you're turning, I'll still give you time because I want you to underline or circle, highlight something. Psalm 118, verse 24 says this, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm not in tomorrow yet. Why would I put all of my energy and all of my focus in what tomorrow may bring? This is the day that the Lord has made. May we not ever miss out on what God has already blessed us with, what God is already doing in our lives, what God has already given. May we not miss out and live in the problems of what tomorrow may bring. May we live in the presence and the provision that God has already given. That's the goal for all of us. In this particular text, let's say it together. If you have your Bible, you can say it aloud, you can say it quietly. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let me just ask a question. Just be honest. Do you want to rejoice and be glad when you wake up? Or are you going to be miserable and bitter? Raise your hand to that one so we can talk about you after church. I mean, just be honest, man. You want to wake up bitter, kicking people in the face? I mean, probably, yeah. But you don't want to be bitter and heartbroken and just miserable each and every day you wake up. And when I wake up, I want to rejoice and I want to be glad in the day that the Lord has given.
You could just separate out.
But there's two words at the very end. I want you to underline, highlight, circle, write down. The two words are in it. You have to be in it in order to rejoice and be glad. If your mind and your heart are in the opinions of other people, you'll never be able to rejoice and be glad in what God has given you. If your mind and your heart is focused on the news channels and the things that you see on the television or on your Facebook page, you'll never be able to rejoice and be glad in what God has already given you. The only way that you can rejoice and be glad in the thing that God has given you is if you are simply in it. So here's what I'm going to do. If you want to come hang out in my bathroom after church, you can. I know that's awkward, but I'm going to have something on my mirror. And I want to ask you to think about this. Consider putting this on your mirror in your bathroom. This verse. Write it out on a piece of paper. Print it out. And remind yourself every morning as you're brushing your teeth. I hope and pray you brush your teeth. All right? As you're brushing your teeth, just remind yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made. And declare aloud, I will rejoice and be glad. Because I am in it. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. My life may change by one phone call. My life can change in a matter of seconds. Your joy and your happiness can be choked out in a matter of moments because we allow external factors dictate how we live. We allow people, we allow their opinions, we allow their Facebook posts, we allow the news reporters to choke out our joy, and we miss out on rejoicing and being glad what God has given. None of those people have given you this day. Every morning when you wake up and you open your eyelids and the ceiling is still there, you should be thankful. You should rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. So when you get the brush in your teeth, or post this on your refrigerator. So every night when you wake up in the middle of the night, and every morning when you go to the fridge to get your bagel, or your orange juice, or your milk, or post it on your coffee. I'm going to post this on my Coffee Ninja, whatever that stupid thing is, and I'm going to post it right there. So when I make that coffee, I'm reminding myself of the Word of God. This is the day that the Lord has. And just think about, what if you were to think about not allowing so many external factors to dictate the way that you live? Didn't you just see anxiety kind of step aside? If you stopped worrying and if you were stopped being in the opinions of other people, couldn't you see your worries just kind of step aside? One of my favorite things to do is just this right here. And what is it anyway? Let's do it as a church. Come on. Just what is it anyway? What is it anyway? Because in the end, like One Direction said, it doesn't even matter. Maybe that was Linkin Park. Sorry. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I mean, serious. Like, when you stand before the Lord one day, and He says, job well done, my good and faithful servant, He's not going to bring up the opinions that other people have about you. Because He wants you to know that it ain't nothing anyway. What is it anyway? Those people didn't give you this day. These people didn't save your soul. These are the people that have stepped down from this heavenly throne and put on flesh and bone to live a perfect life, to be humiliated in front of others so that I can offer myself. But those people didn't do that for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I mean, just imagine every day pouring that coffee, speaking aloud so the devil can hear you. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to be in the opinions of other people any longer. And I'm just going to do this with my ministry as well. I'm going to forget and care less anymore, or couldn't care less anymore, what people have to say about my preferences, what people have to say about the way I do it. I mean, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord with all my heart and soul because I don't know if tomorrow's ever going to come. And you have family members, and I have friends who are lost and who have not understood the grace of God. Therefore, I'm going to maximize my time today to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. mean, what if you were to spend your day with that mindset? This is the day that he has given me. Therefore, because he has blessed me with this day, I will rejoice, I will be glad, and I will spend my time in less worry and more in his word and presenting his truth to people who are far from him. I mean, could you imagine what your life would look like? Could you imagine what this city would look like if Christians all over the city would stop worrying about what other people have to say, would stop worrying about the news, would start worrying about the hearts who are broken, would start worrying about the kids who aren't fed? I mean, could you imagine? We should be thankful when we wake up and when we put our feet on the ground. This is his day. Therefore, we should live for him. And what happens is, it's this arrogance versus humility in this text, because if we're selfish and arrogant about what we're going to do, what we're going to make, what we're going to accomplish, then we're just simply leading ourselves astray and leading others as well. We're living in false wisdom, and false wisdom ends in destruction. But if we were to submit ourselves to the fact that if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, I wake up tomorrow. You all hear that? What are you doing next weekend? Let's plan something. Lord willing, I'll be there. I mean, what if you were to live with that mindset that, Lord willing, I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to maximize the time that I have to provide for my family and to exalt him above all other names? What if you were to spend your day worried about that and turn the phone off and turn the TV off? Could you imagine what your life would look like? And to be honest, I want to wake up every day going from the coffee machine to the refrigerator, the bathroom and brush my teeth, reminding myself, this is the day that the Lord has made. The only way we can rejoice and be glad in it is if we are present. And if I am present in this day, exalting the name of Jesus above all names and above all worries, that I will feel his peace, I will feel his presence, and I will live in his provision. And if we continue to live our lives with that each and every day, as our eyelids open, as our feet hit the ground, we are more than conquerors. We are heirs of his kingdom forever and ever. And I just want to ask you, are you living in tomorrow, worried about tomorrow, or are you maximizing your time today? Because we all have friends, we all have family members who are far from him. And are we saying, tomorrow I'll get to them. Tomorrow I'll reach out to them. Tomorrow I'll answer that phone call. I'm not trying to scare you. But tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. There's going to be a point where tomorrow won't come. How are you spending today? Are you rejoicing? And are you glad? Or are you worrying yourself sick about all the problems that may arise? Can I just tell you that cancer's already been defeated? It will not have dominion over you forever and ever. It might bind you for a few years on this earth. The blood of Jesus has washed it whiter than snow. So I know it hurts. I know it's painful. But if you can declare out loud, you will have a new peace and a new joy. And I tell you that financial struggles won't be there forever. They won't. Because when you live in his glorious riches, you have no worry. There is no trying to pay bills in heaven. At least I hope so. There is no relational problems. It may be hard now, but one day, when that day comes, we will constantly rejoice and be glad because we will be in his presence. But what if we were to live with a little bit of heaven on earth mindset? That today I will seek his presence and his provision. Therefore, I shall rejoice and be glad. Can you pray with me?